I'd like to call order the regular session of Provo Mayor and Council for Monday, September 8th, 2014. First, before we begin proceedings, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll start right off with the approval for the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council on August 25th. Okay, we have a motion to approve the regular session minutes by Councilmember Rich. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes stand approved. The record show, Mary, that the four council people are here tonight for the absence of Councilmember Burrell. Second is the approval of the executive session minutes of August 25th. There were two executive sessions, so this is the first of the two.
Move to approve the 6 o'clock session and move to approve the 8 p.m. session.
Okay. We have a motion to approve both the 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. executive sessions from August 25th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the reason for the 6 p.m. executive session was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom the council has jurisdiction. The second reason was any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. And third, to consult with our town legal counsel to obtain legal advice. The second session at 8 o'clock was held to discuss, basically to consult with our legal counsel to obtain legal advice on another matter. So let's see. We have a fairly short agenda. Which is, no one's complaining. We have a request for a special event for the fall cruise.
Hi.
Everybody knows everybody, but say your name.
I'm Tanya Giles, and I am the chair for the Fall Cruisers, which is set for Saturday, October 11th. It does say on your agenda it'll be from 10 a.m. to 2, but we do ask for that closure to be a little earlier for parking. We allow the cars to start as early as 7, and they do show up at 6. At least one, for sure.
Yeah.
It's always there at 6.
Okay. Yeah, there's usually not too much traffic.
No, that's pretty
that
much
time,
it.
That's 6 o'clock. Yeah, that's 6 o'clock. Okay.
This is a repeat event, so I don't know if there's any questions.
You have any idea how many years it's been now?
I don't. I was actually looking at that. We've been piggybacking with the Ocean City Cruisers for at least the past 6 to 8 years, but there's spring we haven't always done, but we've done the fall for at least 8 years. I don't know if... It's been a while.
And how many cars were here last year?
In the fall, we did not have a good turnout because of the rain. So in the fall last year, we had less than 100, which actually was fantastic considering it was like today for the cruisers. It was not a good day for them. But the spring cruisers, we sold out over 200 that, you know, cars that could fit in. So we anticipate if weather holds out that we'll have a full lot again, or lots, plural.
Any changes from last year?
No. No changes. Okay. Requests for porta potties, I think, are outlined. Those, I don't believe, have changed from last year, because I believe you had the handicap one last year as well.
I make a motion that we approve the fall cruisers.
We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the fall cruisers event Saturday, October 11th, 2014, with official street closure starting at 7 a.m. and the actual event continuing from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Correct.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations, and we hope you have
Thank
better
you.
Weather.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have a presentation from Delmar Power and Light. There are from one of our sister outfits in providing electrical power to the region. And we thank you for
Well, thank you, Mayor. Power. Thank you, Council. Appreciate it. My name is Jim Smith, and I work in government affairs for Delmarva Power. I have a few associates with me from DP&L, Marianne Abdul, who works as a wholesale manager. We have a couple of our design engineers, Adrian Winterling and Matt Savage, and our project manager for a project I'm going to discuss with you, Zane Brigler. But we appreciate the, now am I all automated here to, are you going to?
If you kind of give me a...
I'll let you do it. Yeah, it would probably be trouble. It would probably be trouble if I did it, so I'll let you do it. But what I wanted to do is talk to you very briefly about a project that's going to be upcoming here that impacts Worcester County and the town of Berlin. We think it's a very positive project, but wanted to use this opportunity to discuss it with you. If you haven't seen this in a little while, I know we have regular wholesale meetings every year, but we certainly value as a transmission customer with the interconnection that we have with you. Just a snapshot of DP&L, we have a service territory that encompasses Delaware and Maryland, about 5,000 square miles. We have about 500,000 electric customers throughout the peninsula in both states. We have a gas business in northern Delaware, not below the CD Canal. Across the peninsula, we own about 1,500 miles of electric transmission lines. We have a very robust system, and we're doing a lot of work on it right now. We have about 12,000 miles of distribution line, electric distribution, along with about 3,200 miles of gas line, 1,800 employees, and historically, we've been tied very tightly to the communities that we serve, and over the last 5 years, we've donated somewhere in the neighborhood of about $4 million to nonprofits. Throughout our service territory. Let's talk about reliability. That's been a big, big thing at Delmarva Power over the last 5 years. We've invested about, as you can see, $1 billion on our transmission and distribution systems. And we're looking to equal or outdistance that amount over the next 5 years. That's everything from rebuilding pole lines, like I'm going to talk about tonight, revamping and upgrading substations, replacing wood transmission infrastructure with steel, vegetation management, being more aggressive with that, keeping trees away from live conductors. That's especially important as we prepare for storms. And other customer service improvements. That's everything from distribution automation, which we're implementing, the smart grid, smart metering, things of that nature. What I want to talk to you about tonight is a project we call our Berlin to Ocean City project. And this is a project that's designed to improve reliability for our customers in Worcester County. It's a 9-mile, 69,000-volt transmission line that runs between Berlin and Ocean City. And when we talk about improving reliability, we're talking about improving the customer experience, improving service, keeping the lights on, and when they go off, trying to have infrastructure out there that we can get customers restored as quickly and safely as possible. This is a fairly large project. Even though it's only 9 miles, it's a $43 million project. And several features of it. The biggest thing from a reliability perspective is it's a modernization project. This transmission line was built about a half century ago. And we're in the process of replacing a lot of similar type of lines across the Delmarva Peninsula. So we're going to start this one actually next month, between October of 14 and next Memorial Day. We are going to rebuild the overhead portion of this line, which basically runs between our Worcester substation, which is just outside of town here on Route 50, before you get to the state police barracks. That line runs all the way to West Ocean City to what's called our Culver substation, which is just south of Route 50. A second phase of the project, which is a little off in the future, is we're going to also, as part of this, be interconnecting Ocean City. We're going to be replacing the submarine cable or underwater line next year that ties into downtown Ocean City. It was built about the same time, and time's come to replace that as well. But we're going to start that next fall and do that into the spring of 16. We are going to be doing some preliminary underground work in downtown Ocean City as part of that to coincide with some street work that they're doing, and we've been meeting with them. We're going to be doing that this fall and into the first of the year. This shows you the map of the line. I didn't get too detailed, but the Worcester substation on the left side of the screen, right there off 50, crosses 113, runs right between Atlantic General and Berlin Nursing Home. Tails off and goes south there a little bit. That's where we tie in with you. We call that the Berlin Tap, right there off Flower Street. And then we go cross-country for quite a while. I would venture to say probably 75% of this line. Most people don't know it's there unless they're really looking for it. Runs in some fields and out in the woods. And then you start to really see it on the east side when you cross 611, runs along Sunset Avenue, then it ties into Culver Sub before it crosses Route 50 to a terminal structure. So what does this entail? Well, right now, there are about 150 poles that we're going to be replacing as part of this overhead project between October of this year and May of next year. If you look at the poles now, they're in the 45 to 60 foot range, and they're going to increase in height. They're going to go to about 80 or 90 feet from wooden poles to steel poles. And that is that's really the norm now in our industry. And there have been a number of projects that I could point to across the peninsula and actually nearby. We recently did Indian River to Bishop a few years ago and went to single steel structures. We, of course, just had a major project in Ocean City where we went to 90, 95 foot steel poles. And really, that's driven by clearances. Today's clearances and requirements are much different than they were half a century ago, 50 years ago. And with the size of conductor that we use, the voltages, those clearances, the requirements have just changed. This will have a combination of two different type of poles. On the western side of it, between Worcester and 611, we're going to use what's called a weathering steel. It's a darker steel color. We use that primarily in more wooded areas where a lot of that cross country runs. We're going to shift to a galvanized pole when we get to right around 611. The galvanized poles, far from away from aesthetic issues, they are especially durable to the salt contamination that we see in the coastal areas. So that's why we elected really to go with that. Steel poles are the norm now when we do these line rebuilds. They're more durable. I know you remember back earlier this year, we lost a few poles with straight line winds. I know Laura and I talked a few times. I spent 18 hours off and on with Atlantic General when we lost those poles. You know, one of the great things from a reliability perspective is we hope to not have those types of conversations at least as frequently, because these poles are, they can withstand hurricane force winds up to 120 miles an hour. So we're really happy about that. Most of the poles are going to be generally located in the same locations. There's a few of them along the corridor that we're shifting to improve reliability. This is, I have a couple of renderings here of what the new structures look like. This is the galvanized, an example of a galvanized on the left-hand side. The one on the right side is the current structure. It's a big difference. I mean, there's no doubt it's a big difference. But you're talking about, you know, construction 50 years ago versus what we're doing today. And this pretty much falls in line with of what we're doing. And this is the weathering steel. And this is what will run between Worcester substation here in Berlin, across the highway, and then basically out to almost 611. As I told you before, we own and operate and maintain about 1,500 miles of transmission. And a lot of folks don't realize it, but that serves not only our customers, but we serve 11 municipalities in the state of Delaware that have electric companies, and two here on the shore, including you folks and Easton. And we also serve co-op customers at Chop Tank and Delaware Electric. And this project really has a direct benefit to both you folks and Chop Tank. I think it's a good story to tell. Now, one of the things that when we do projects, we try to do as much energized, or what we call in the industry hot work, to eliminate the need for an outage. However, the construction of this one, we're going to move west to east, and the construction will require an approximate four-hour overnight outage. And I know we've talked to Tim about that. It's weather depending. If we have some extreme temperatures, we'll certainly, you know, have to work around that. We realize that that's, you know, something we have to just, and our system operations folks, as we get closer to that, we'll work very closely with you folks to discuss that in more detail. This is if you're familiar with, this is what we call the Berlin tap. This is where we interconnect with you folks, and that's what it looks like today. I don't have a rendering of what it's going to look like, but it's going to be better. I will promise you that. And really, it's better through a modernization point of view. What we have in place right now was built around 1988, that switch. It's a single three-way manually operated set of switches on a single pole structure, as that previous photo indicated. And the key word in this is manual. And so when there was an issue there, when we had to do some work there, we had to send a troubled serviceman or a line crew to manually operate those. What we're going to be putting in place to serve you more reliably is a remote motor-operated switch, actually two sets of switches, on two separate self-supporting steel poles. So we're going to go from the steel, or from the wood to the steel, and we're going to have the two sets of switches. And when we say it's motor operated, that means that our system operations center, which operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that we have system operators that can do remote switching on that. And that just is going to be so much better from a reliability perspective if there is an issue, an outage out there. And this is just a summary sheet. I'm not going to repeat it all, but we're looking forward to this project to improve reliability here in Worcester County, not only for our customers, but for the folks that you serve here in the town of Berlin and also Chop Tank. It's one of many projects that we have going on right now on both the transmission and distribution side. As I said, we spent about $1 billion over the last 5 years, and we're going to at least equal that over the next 5 years. So we've got a lot going on. We think it's a good story to tell, and I would certainly be open to any questions that you folks might have, and I have some folks that are smarter than I am that I bring with me if something I can't answer.
I just want to ask again if I understood correctly that if everything goes according to plan, would it be just one single four-hour outage on that first weekend?
That's what we're hoping. We're hoping for, on that Friday or Saturday night to do a four-hour overnight outage. In those overnight hours, we think we can do all that work, get that switch in place, get everything in place in that 4 hours. That's our goal.
Are you talking like midnight to 4?
Yes.
Like
midnight to 4 or 1 to 5, yes. To make it as convenient as possible for not only residents but for businesses, we know that we can't do that stuff in the middle of the day. And again, we prefer not to de-energize like that, but in this case, we took a really close look at it. Our construction management folks have been in the business a long time, and it just wasn't something that we could quote-unquote do hot because of the connection into the substation there.
I think the key here is communications, and that's one thing where we can all work together to make sure, we can directly contact our customers and
absolutely
provide information over the town's webpage, and obviously get some posters up.
Sure.
Here, everybody's used to promoting so many events.
Yeah, right.
So we'll
right
just make this one more non-event.
Right. Well, that's what we're hoping for.
Glad of the timing, because you never know. It seems like the weather's gotten so unpredictable. But historically, that's still a fairly mild time of year for
us. We've been fortunate recently, you're right. And one of the things I did want to let you know is that a week from tomorrow, we're actually going to be having a public meeting at the Fire Hall, Ocean City Fire Hall on Keyser Point Road, and kind of put that in a central spot there. And we'll get you the fact sheet that we're going to have for that. And any of you are more than welcome to be there. We'll send you the news release. And as we get closer to the work that we're going to do, we're going to, this team will be in touch with you folks and Tim, and we'll get that all right.
I think it'd be helpful if you could send us the press release and any information you've got. We'll put it on our website.
I'll do that.
We'll get the word out.
I think we're going to try to get that out tomorrow, so I'll have Matt Lukovich get that to you. Absolutely.
Great,
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. You know Matt, yeah. Any other questions?
First of all, does anyone have any questions? Because first of all, very pleased that this is happening. It's reassuring to know that down here on the Lower Shore, we're going to have the improvements that will help reliability and hopefully serve the entire area for a long time. And also, I take this opportunity to thank you folks for the great cooperation and teamwork that happens. Sometimes people are aware of it, and a lot of it happens behind the scenes.
Right.
And that is all the better, because I tell people the better job all the utilities do and the town does,
right,
and all of our partners, which we consider you all partners, if we're really doing a good job, it's like magic.
Right.
We don't want them sealed.
Well, we appreciate that. We place a high value on the relationship and partnership we have with you folks and all the municipal customers that we serve.
It's very good, and that's why I want to make sure we'll do whatever we can to help publicize and have the information available. I would say one thing, if someone, there's always one person that you can't anticipate everything. If there's someone if we get a question, we just don't feel
sure
we're capable of answering or have the proper knowledge, that we could refer a customer to.
Absolutely. You send them to me. Send them my way, and I'll be happy to take care of that. No problem at all.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. Does anybody else have anything?
It's comprehensive. Infrastructure is important, and that's good to know that we're going to have all that replaced, the aerial.
Great.
The weather we've been having.
Right. Yeah, those straight line winds were, we knew that this project was coming and figured that the straight line winds would come in advance of the project, but.
Told everybody, yeah, this is real.
Exactly.
This is something needed.
It looks like a safety thing, too, with staff, when there is an outage, not having to go there physically and.
Absolutely.
Worse conditions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In general, with the higher height of the steel poles, is that in most cases going to put it above the elevation of the trees and of the foliage?
It could.
Won't be as much a direct threat to the lines.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In some cases, depending on the size of the trees in a particular area, it does give you a little bit more clearance, which is a good thing. As I said before, we have gotten more aggressive in our vegetation management, trying to be respectful of the environment and working with individual property owners on necessary removals if we have something that needs to be removed, but doing it in a manner that's very responsible, but recognizing the fact that if you don't place a high emphasis on that, it can really come back to bite you in a storm, and we've seen that in years past, and that's why we've had to get more aggressive. And if you look at that corridor, it's been cleared pretty well between here and Ocean City.
Your work is coinciding, it's coming following right on the heels of the vegetation management and major clearance of the median between Salisbury and
right.
Ocean City, and very familiar with that project, and obviously it's interesting. It increases the visibility, particularly at night. It had been years, and for some of those miles, that you didn't even know there was another highway.
Right.
Just
right.
To the left.
Right.
And so so pulling out things like that, it also improves visibility during the day. But a lot of that, non-native weeds.
Right. Right.
They've got nicer names for it. Basically, we're choking off and killing perfectly good trees.
Sure.
And making the whole area less stable and harder to drain and everything else. So it is saying that Mother Nature, does need some assistance.
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
And it's something I think our, the people who are living in these times are learning to accept,
right.
And that it's something that nature it was here a long time before public utilities, and hopefully we all want to be around and coexist,
right,
in a manner that keeps everybody in power and also makes it safe for the workers who are out there.
I know from a vegetation management standpoint, one of the things that our forestry department really accentuates is not only doing it responsibly and effectively, but also getting rid of what they call the invasive species and make sure that, you know, what nature was, what was already in place is allowed to grow. And in some cases, some of those corridors are actually pretty nice looking. I mean, some of the natural stuff.
That's going to be, you know, it might be an aesthetic benefit, but it has benefits beyond just the better appearance.
Right.
So this is great.
All right.
It is all around.
Well, don't hesitate to call me with any questions.
As far as the height for the pole?
Yes.
Are they going to be exactly like Ocean City replaced or higher, lower?
They're in the same neighborhood between 41st and 84th Streets. That's the line we just did. They're going to be in that 80 to 90 foot range. The ones in Ocean City are about 90. And again, it all comes down to the clearance requirements that we have. And one of the differences there, too, is that not only did we raise them, which got us away from some of the buildings, quite frankly, we pointed, you know, the conductors out over Coastal Highway, which from a safety and reliability point of view was a real benefit there. And it, you know, I met with mayor and council several times about that project. We worked very closely with the town and the SHA and the other utilities. And I know when they first started going up, there were some questions that arose, but I think now that the project's done, you know, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback on it, quite frankly. Yeah.
Can you speak to why the poles that you selected for the project near Merlin are going to be the rest colored ones as opposed to the...
Well, I would say that back in the day, you know, it was just wood or nothing, and now there is an actual choice of the weathering steel, which is the darker color, or the galvanized. And it's probably a little bit right now, Laura, more of an art than it is a science. And I think that as we looked at the geography between Worcester Substation and the cross-country run, a lot of that was more wooded than not. And that's probably why that decision was made. And then as we got to the more, I guess, densely populated areas in West Ocean City, we made a shift to the galvanized. And also because of the salt contamination there being a little bit more of an issue. If you look at some of the rebuilds that we've done, not only in Ocean City and here, I know we rebuilt Indian River Inlet up into Rehoboth a few years ago. We went with a galvanized structure there rather than the weathering. We try to do our best when it comes to looking at the aesthetics and realizing that, you know, again, it's probably more of an art than science right now, having those two choices. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse sometimes, but that's what we're, yeah.
Is the weathering steel like in the dividers in the highway, sometimes they put them in and they're not galvanized, they're kind of brown and they kind of...
It's a brownish color. The weathering steel is a brownish color. Yeah, it's more of a brownish. Galvanized is more of a silver gray color. Yeah.
Well, we thank you very much for your presentation.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity.
And obviously, reach out and take advantage of our offer to
absolutely
communicate with our citizens and guests. We have a lot of those these days.
Sure, you
well,
do.
At least hopefully they'll know what's going on as well.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll be in touch. Great. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Appreciate your time.
Eric, thank you.
See you again. It's been a little while.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Item 4 on the agenda is a request for EDUs from DaVita Healthcare Partners, and representing them is Chuck Cooper and Jason Hafer.
Close enough.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Council, how are you? I'm Chuck Cooper, Design Construction Manager for DaVita.
And I'm Jason Hafer. I'm the Facility Administrator at DaVita here in Berlin.
Great.
We don't have a fancy presentation.
Yeah.
It's not the way it looks, it's content that matters. So just tell us what you're trying to accomplish and how we all might be able to work together.
Okay, good. So we're relocating the existing clinic that's on Franklin Street, which Jason is the facility administrator of, to 9952 North Main Street. You've probably seen it from the highway. It's right out there in that medical plaza at Main Place. It's under construction right now. The shell building is mostly complete, and we've got our permit. Thank you to the team to let us have that to start some of our TI works in there, and they're doing some groundwork. It's a 9,800 square foot dialysis center, about 8,000 square foot of which on one end is a DaVita clinic with 19 in-center hemodialysis stations and 3 home training rooms, and then an 1,800 square foot doctor's suite for Dr. Kazi Khan, who's a well-known nephrologist on the Eastern Shore, and he's our main medical director for the facility. So it's a one-story building, and obviously we wanted to go through the protocol that was requisite for EDU references. We met with Jane Kreider and had a lot of good emails back and forth, and we sort of landed on 25, I think, is the final number, knowing full well that if, in fact, we use more water than that, we, you know, we'll have to...
Yeah, it's the best estimate everybody can come up with.
Exactly.
Correct, yeah.
And that process has worked pretty well. Sometimes, most of the time, it confirms in the ballpark, and most, I mean, I have to say, almost all the time, if there's been an adjustment, it's been a fairly moderate one.
Right.
We're pleased to see this investment being made here because I don't know if you're aware, but we just completed, I think it was December 2012, roughly. Maybe we didn't get quite done in December, but that winter, 2012, early 2013, we extended our sewer and water to Route 50 and beyond, and with the anticipation that it was the time had come for development out that way. So you have at least reconfirmed of what, you know, let's face it, trying to, as Yogi Berra says, predictions are really hard, especially about the future.
Yeah.
But we had to make the investment. And I honestly believe that it won't be the last thing.
Certainly.
The last business to need that connection, which will be the first. And of course, that works very nicely with the our growing health industry here in Berlin. It's interesting. I really don't know if tourism or healthcare is the number one driver. I just know that they're both very important. And we're very pleased that that Dr. Khan's facilities are growing and prospering and are here to help people who obviously dialysis is needed. There's just no substitute.
Certainly.
In the terms, are there kind of terms that have been proposed?
It's just the regular 10% down and it's 60-month.
5 years?
Correct.
Five years.
That's something we started a few years ago, simply because we recognize that when you're making an investment of this nature, there's a lot of money going out. And our obligation is to meet our indebtedness for the bonds. And this allows us to do that without putting any hardship on anyone, the town or the businesses. And we're glad to provide that option to you. And I think as already working with Jane and the Water Resources folks, we are unique in the fact that we put all of our water resources departments, wastewater, water, stormwater, all into one department. And in reality, they may have different functions, but they need to all work and work closely together. And I think it's given us efficiencies that maybe might be copied someday in the future on a larger scale. But I think you're fine working with Jane in the department and with Laura and Mary and of course Dave Hart. I think, you know, everybody's here. We want to help. We just want to see things are done right the first time, and then we want to have a long lasting relationship. We're not looking for a lot of turnover. We're looking for a lot of people that, you know, regardless if it's business or pleasure, that people come down here and establish a long-term relationship that we can all be mutually rewarded.
I think you're in luck. We signed a 10-year lease and then 2 5-year renewal options, so it's a high likelihood we'll be here 20 years.
Thank goodness we don't have to do that up here. Nobody would ever do the job.
We like our new site.
Owners of this property. You are leasing this property.
We are, correct. Yeah. Our lease is with Dr. Khan. And a developer is Gillis Gilkerson, Palmer Gillis. Typically, we'd actually lease from a developer, but Dr. Khan wanted that relationship. So.
It's an agreement citing you as the owner.
We're not the owner, but we're going to be the ones responsible for the EDUs.
So that's why I clarify that, but they are the ones that are financially responsible for...
Correct. And that's the way our lease is structured with the doctor
as well. You're the same organization that's currently operating on Franklin Avenue.
Correct. Yes, ma'am. Yep.
So you're leasing that facility.
Correct. That's our typical
model. So we're going to have an empty facility there.
Yes, eventually.
And you're using 25 EDUs there?
20, I think, is what I believe is what we've seen.
Because obviously, this is going to be a larger...
Correct. Yes. We did a calculations in my letter and all our backup data that stated that the original estimate was high because it was a SWAG number. We actually went in and pulled water use data on the old clinic and water use data across our entire company and then looked at the water fixtures we have here. This is a slight expansion, so our clinic is going to grow in a slight amount of chairs, so that water use was taken into account when we calculated the 25.
And of course, is this subject to the same 2-year review
than
any other?
Yes.
Because after that, if we're all for just,
yes.
The allocation agreement's attached as well. The property owner would have to sign the allocation agreement.
Yeah. The EDUs stay with the property. So I know that you guys say you're buying the 25 EDUs, but 20 years from now, if you decide to move, they're staying at that location.
Yeah, but you want to make sure
you understand.
That's not unique. That's,
sure.
That's standard.
And for that reason, we're going to need the property owner to sign this agreement as well.
Certainly. We can get Dr. Khan to come.
Yeah, sign. That's not a problem.
So can I make a motion with those stipulation conditions? All right, I'd like to make a motion between the mayor and council and DaVita Healthcare and Dr. Khan to purchase 25 EDUs for use at 9952 North Main Street. Total price is $417,150, so putting down a 10% deposit. And the balance will be paid in monthly installments over 60 months.
We have a motion by Council Member Hall to approve the proposed motion to approve 25 EDUs for DaVita Healthcare as stipulated in the motion and in the previous discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Congratulations.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
And do you have a rough estimate of when you hope to make the transition?
Our construction CFO is projected in mid-December.
Okay.
So, Lord willing, we'll finish then and ultimately move our clinic in, if we can get it into in December. It's a pretty interesting move.
Yeah.
Taking a clinic, shutting one down, opening it up the next day, essentially.
Yeah. It's a little more complicated than it sounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Either December or January.
But certainly, you hope to be settled in and feel at home by first of the year.
Right.
Is that the buildings we see going up right now?
Yeah, there's one under construction. Mm-hmm. It's sort of got a canopy coming out, single story, pitched. It looks just like the other ones out there, but.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
thank you very much for coming in, and we wish you all the best. And,
again, I'm not sure this is the proper. I'm the electric director for the town. The facility that you have on Franklin Avenue right now, when we lose grid power, I get a direct phone call from them wanting to know when the power is going to be restored. Put any thought into putting a full capability backup generator?
We have a manual transfer switch with a pigtail, and we have a DaVita divert team which mobilizes nationally during storm events like Hurricane Sandy. So we have generators already set in Southern Maryland to be routed to here and East End and Cambridge and Chestertown and the whole East Shore.
If you know a hurricane's coming, correct?
Okay. Sure.
Say there's a storm occurs, we have a lot of thunderstorms and lightning and things like that. Most of these outages that occur, they're, you know, for a couple of hours, 2 to 3 hours, and I'm already getting calls from them. So I wasn't sure if you were thinking about putting a full capability generator there for that purpose.
We didn't. It's a great idea. We do about a third of our facilities get full-time, you know, either diesel or natural gas generators.
Okay.
Obviously, this one, we could actually, there's room out there for it.
I had discussed that with David Tony, I think it is. Mm-hmm. He's
Tony
the electrician.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to talk to, I guess, the owners or yourself about that.
It's an excellent suggestion because at least based on, you know, informal observation, the weather here is more unstable and more severe. And we have these long, long stretches of just beautiful weather.
Mm.
But then when it turns, when Mother Nature gets, you know, upset, it seems to really really, the wind speeds, the intensity of the rain, this is, it was one of the incentives for the town to, you might say, put on the fast track the establishment of stormwater utilities, because the flooding is so much more noticeable. The good news is, because we have a great crew, I'm very proud, I think we all are, of their commitment, but they're human, they can only do so much at a time. So our outages tend to be short by comparison when we're talking about the big boys over on the other side of the bay. They measure their outages usually in days, and I measure it in at the most of 2 to 4 hours. But still, if you're a dialysis patient or someone who that needs that treatment, we would rather be upfront with you and say that would be again a recommendation that we strongly endorse, and I think it would be well worth it over time. Again, it's just we barring a major disaster, I think we feel very good about our reliability. But I'm not optimistic about the trends in the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everything seems to indicate that here we are close to the coast, and so we're trying to prepare for the worst.
Right.
And so I would just ask you to consider doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Good.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Next, we have our departmental reports. First is Finance Director Natalie Saleh.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't have much on my agenda. We are heavily working with auditors, so we're here today with a full crew, 4 people from PKS and Company. Basically, it was initial questioning about changes, anything new been added to the town. So they have met with Laura and myself as well. They covered some main topics. We'll be back tomorrow, continuously working. And I think I just want to say in front of everybody, I thank you, my whole finance department and billing department. They're working really great as a team, helping, and so far it's a good start, I think.
Great. And how long do you think the process will be doing this, what I call in-house phase, where everything is
according to the last year, they have finished by Thursday night, so Friday they were not coming back as of last year, but I'm hoping it's going to be the same this year. I have a good feeling they will be down by Thursday night, so Monday through Thursday is 4 heavy days. At the same time, we are reading meters and then porting the billing data downstairs, getting
ready all that's going
for the
on
new
on.
Billing cycle as well.
Excellent.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Well, congratulations. at least it sounds positive so far. Next is Deputy Town Administrator Mary Bowen.
I don't really have anything to share this evening that I haven't already shared with you. We did receive the $30,000 bikeways grant. Kate Patton from the Lower Shore Land Trust really was instrumental in doing that. It had to be submitted in the town's name, but it truly was her application, and she deserves all the credit for that. There is still a federal component of that overall project that will play a big part in whether or not we proceed, but how much we can get done in the first phase.
It's impossible to know. Do you think that's something we'll be hearing about within the next 6 months or so?
I would imagine, yes. Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
Can you update us on people who have registered for the election coming up so far?
The deadline for the regular filing is 5 p.m. tomorrow evening. The Board of Elections will meet to certify the candidates who have filed. But to date, Mr. Burrell has filed for District 4, Mr. Purnell for District 1, and Mr. Tom Golias for the at-large seat.
And the deadline for registering, if you're going to do a write-in and be a write-in candidate, is September the 30th.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Tim or myself?
I'm sorry. Tim, okay.
No problem. You threw me off because usually I follow.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. There's two POs that is in your packet. One is for some new Christmas decoration skylines. It's going to go across the roadways, and the second one is for the it's for a rental crane to pull the pole out back here at the police department to raise the siren. Our pole's not large enough. Our truck's not large enough to handle that call of the pole. First thing I want to talk about is the picture that you see up here. We had a power outage that occurred on Tuesday, September 2nd. Started about 5:46 p.m. and it power was restored at 6:42 p.m. So that was pretty quick. There was none of us here at the time, and we were able to get here and get all the power restored within 1 hour. What you're looking at there.
Tim, excuse me, when I saw you send those pictures, I was shocked at how fast you guys got that power back on when I saw those pictures. That was very quick.
Yes, we were able to reroute the power. What you're looking at here is what's called a PT, short for potential transformer. What this device does, it steps the voltage down from 25,000 volts down to 120 for our metering. It's basically a mini transformer, a step-down transformer. And that allows our metering equipment to work at a proper voltage that can handle, you know, that. This device here is about 24 years old. And over time, it aged and it failed. So what we're looking at right now, we have a total of six of these in the substation. And right after this outage, I sent out some information to get some quotes back on replacing all of them. One of Delmarva Power's head metering people had to come out and check their metering to make sure it was working properly after this, because their equipment is right next to this equipment. And I got to talking to them about things, and I asked them, I said, if something like this device fails in your substation, what do you do with yours? And they said, well, they do exactly what we just did. We replace the one that failed, and then if the other ones are the same vintage or age, we look at replacing all them also. So right now I'm in the middle of getting quotes to replace the other five.
So you have one in inventory?
Well, we had two in inventory. When this failed, we took the one out, replaced it, and we still have one left.
Okay, so you still have one backup?
Yes.
While you're looking into the replacement of the wall.
Okay. Do you have a total of how many?
There's a total of six in the substation. Good. There's three up on the main bus that belong to us, and then there's three others sort of like this that are for Delmarva Power. And then we have one at each circuit pole where the outgoing circuits go, so there's a total of six.
And then you want one for backup too, right?
That's
on the shelf. Mm-hmm. Now they should all start doing this, right? They're all going to start failing if they're of the same age.
Remember, we had the problem with when I first got here, we had the problem with the breakers. You remember
yes.
that?
Mm-hmm.
And we had one fail, and then we had another one right after that. And then we said, okay, let's replace all the breakers, which we did.
Okay.
Same situation. When you have the same vintage, same year, mm-hmm. same manufacturer. If one starts going, you need to think about go ahead and replace all the other ones.
That's better to be prepared to wait for a crisis.
Yes.
Okay. So is that information you expect to have to us within the next month or so?
Within the next council meeting.
Great.
Yes.
And would you be doing that if it gets approved? Would you be doing that soon?
Yes. As soon as you give me the approval to go ahead and purchase them, that'll be done right then.
Because everything I've read, we're supposed to be preparing for a really sharp, nasty winter.
Yes.
I don't have a clue to understand what you just said, but I want to again reiterate and compliment you for getting the power on and the speed with which you did.
Thank you.
And the folks that I was able to communicate with were remarkable in keeping me informed, because I'll tell you, when the power goes out in our school, you never heard anything beeping more. They beep all over everywhere.
Yes.
And my phone, it's like people think that we have a direct line to Tim. You know, the power goes out. Oh, let's just call. Like, we
actually,
know.
Actually, a lot of people.
I know. It's like, I don't want to bother Tim.
My cell phone, it rang like 7 times before I got to the shop with different people calling one.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, give him a little time. It'll be back. And usually, knock on wood.
It'll be pretty good. I mean, we, you know, it takes, from where some of us live, it takes 30 minutes to get there. So you figure. Within a 30-minute time frame, we were able to get the power.
And as I was told, the police department was also out. Stop, you know, where stoplights were not operating.
Yes.
The police department was out, you know, so it is a cooperative effort.
Yes. Thank you.
And well appreciated.
Thank you. The other thing I wanted to talk about is we generated this past Friday, which was very unusual to generate in September.
Yeah.
The low was about the fourth largest peak out of the five for the summer, and it just happened to be in September. And I talked to some of the employees that have been around, and most of them said they can't remember generating in September for the past 8 years, at least.
And it was the next to highest peak.
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
So that was very unusual. And so we ended up, and I thought we would have generated the day prior to that because it was a lot hotter the day before. But we ended up generating on Friday. And then also we made a trip up to Culpeper, Virginia to take a field trip tour of a AMI system by a company called Aclara and Twax for AMI smart meter grid system. It was a very good trip. We learned a lot about that type of system. It's a little bit different than what we have now for the electric side of it anyway. The electric side, it's called a power line carrier versus an RF signal. It actually induces a signal into the power line that travels down the line right to the meter. An RF signal is basically wireless. You have to have different equipment to send it, you know, to and from. A FWAC system that goes directly to the meter right down the power line. And all the equipment is housed in the substation versus, you know, in poles in the street, that type of thing.
So is that in your opinion, mean less possibility for disruption due to accidents and other things?
Yes, the FWAC system is, with an RF system, you have multiple locations where you have multiple equipment all over the place. The TWAC system, you basically have all the equipment housed right in the substation, and that's the only equipment there is, and it sends it directly down the power line. The only downfall to that is if that equipment goes out, it stops reading, you know, at that point.
Stops reading everything.
Correct. Right now. With an RF type system, it'll keep the information for a certain amount of time, because it has batteries and that type of thing. Now, the TWAC system only works on the electric side. For the water side, that would still require an RF signal.
So you would have to do a duplication. If you recommended that, you have one system for electric and another for
right. We initially were looking at one provider to provide it for both, which would be RF for both situations. But what we're finding out, there's several municipalities that have dual systems. But they do integrate together when it comes to the billing side of it.
Okay, so the hardware, so to speak, it would be what is best for majoring water, which sounds like it's the RF.
Yes.
And then direct
for TWAC, for the power line.
But then what's happening is that then there's equipment then that integrates with the billing software.
That's correct.
That makes that a seamless transition.
Yeah. In other words, you could have like a TWAC system and then, you know, have an RF signal separate for the water side of it. But you couldn't have an electric and water and then have two different type of RF systems. So you either have to have a TWAC, an RF, or you have to have RF, one vendor total.
What is Culpeper doing?
they're doing the TWACS with the, they're doing the power line carrier with the RF.
What's the advantage of doing that versus going all RF?
They just felt more comfortable with going with the TWACS system because it's been in existence for 30 years. Rappahannock Electric Co-op, for example, they've had it for about 30 years. It's been around for a long time. It's very proven. The only difference in it is power line carrier is a little bit slower than RF signal. RF can, you know, you can read your meters like every 10 minutes. But the TWAC system, you can only read it so many times, you know, per hour.
We'll obviously have a special presentation after you've gotten all your facts for it.
Yes.
What is the biggest downside to a total system that is based on the radio frequency?
Well, the radio frequency, you know, there's been a lot of questions. You know, Delmarva's going through this right now. We have opt out for the customer. RF, you know, a lot of people are concerned about, you know, health issues with it. That type of thing. With a TWAC system, you don't have the RF signal. It doesn't have that signal that where people are concerned about what it causes health problems. That type of thing.
Does anyone have any other questions for Tim?
I believe we have a slide that shows what the holiday decorations look like.
The RF kind is kind of like the Wi-Fi. You have signals, equipment, various places giving
out the signal. That's correct.
Other one's kind of like the microfiber optics that's going through the line to give the signal, kind of.
That's true. That's correct. You figure with the system we have right now, you have multiple locations, like it's transmitted from the pole out back to the police department. You know, there's a device up there on Baker Street and West Street. The signal goes from there wireless through the airway. The power line carrier is directly down the line itself. It is not used through the airway.
Are you able to use the same line to accomplish the full purpose that way? Or do you have to actually have another physical line?
No, you use the same line. You don't have to run any type of fiber optics or cabling. It's right down the power line.
Be very interesting decision.
Yeah, it's got some benefits to it, but there's also some benefits. A good example is RF signal. If you decide to go with fully automated switching, for example, just like they were talking about with that's going to be a great improvement what they're doing, by the way, with remote switching. If you were to go with an RF signal, you could do automated switching, if you ever decided to get to that point, right through the airwaves. But if you do a power line carrier, that's what I was getting at, it takes a little longer for that signal to travel. So if you go to send a signal to a switch or something to open, it may take twice as long for it to do what it's supposed to versus an RF signal.
But just to get this in a frame of reference, twice as long, are we talking about seconds, minutes, or
minutes?
Minutes. Oh, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll give another shot. Dave Englehart, our planning director.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a couple brief items. Last Wednesday, the Historic District Commission met. They approved the sign for the latest new business. Next to the Globe, the small shop there that's going to be olive oil and infused vinegars, they approved their signage. They approved our request for the planning and zoning building, those front two windows that are all rotten out, change those out. So we'll be doing that shortly. I got to get those ordered. And the last item that they had, we're discussing the building that's right over here on William and Pitt, where the Burley Tavern is, Mr. Burbage's building. he came before them to change out windows and redo the stucco on the building. It needs it badly. I'm sure you've all seen it. They continued that meeting because they didn't have enough voting members for an affirmative action. They had two members recuse themselves. That meeting is tomorrow night at 5 o'clock here in the chamber to continue that meeting. So they didn't adjourn. And following that, they had the Board of Appeals meet. First one for me, they hadn't met since early 2013. The applicant was Oxford Chase Development, and they would like to develop the parcel that's out across from Atlantic General Hospital and the nursing home. If you're familiar with it, the one that has the silk fence still around it, the black silk fence, it's virtually 1 acre just under that square. And they want to build a new Dollar General store there. So the one that's in the plaza by Food Lion would actually move over there. It's a much larger store. The issue for the Board of Appeals was, according to our ordinance, they needed 49 parking spaces. It's kind of tight there to put that 9,100 square foot building and 49 parking spots, so it wouldn't have made it. They petitioned for 41 parking spots, and the Board of Appeals gave them that exemption to 41.
Okay.
They still have a lot of work to do for Planning Commission and site development. A lot of work to do with State Highway to get it, because if you think about that intersection and that area, again, difficult for traffic access and safety, so we'll see where that goes. They wanted to come before. I had told them you can't do it there, according to our ordinance, so the first step, overcoming the first hurdle for them was finding out if they could do the parking.
Right.
So that's all that the Board of Appeals had to decide on this issue was the parking.
At this time, realizing that things, obviously this is when things changed mostly in the early planning stages of these developments, are they hoping, is their desire to get direct access from Maryland 346 or from the service road that would be coming off?
They want it right off 346.
Okay.
And that's, yeah, who is correct? I guess they don't have, they made an attempt to purchase the properties adjacent. You're referring to the driveway that goes back into the apartments.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to do that, weren't able to come to a deal. That makes the most sense. That's Chief Downing, that was his input to me, that I could give to the Board of Appeals. But that's not what they applied for.
They can't do it. They can't run it.
Their concept plan. And I've been talking to Rochelle Loudon from SHA. I talked to her today, as a matter of fact, about it again. But there's no submittals yet, so she can't. She's given them suggestions. She's given me some suggestions to get what we might want, which is helpful. And we'll see what their submittals
that's
are.
The process worked for you.
Right.
They just built one in Bethany Beach, and they gave the commission the excess from 26, you know, 26 is one of the worst highways.
That's a double loop.
Well, my understanding is from Ms. Outen was they can't deny access unless they want to buy the property, the State Highway Administration. That's the way she put it. They can't render a piece of property useless by not giving them access if it fronts on the state road. So she said, my hands are kind of tied sometimes. We can ask for a lot of engineering,
right,
and we can ask for a lot of solutions, but we can't tell them they can't have access. So I think what she means there is the best we might hope for is a right-in, right-out situation, which creates a U-turn problem further down if they go down towards veterinary clinics and the doctors that are down there and on down, you might see a lot of U-turns.
And this is ultimately going to be have to be the decision of the
planning commission.
They'll have to agree to the site plan, and it's an awful tight spot for that big a store. And concept plan doesn't have landscaping on it yet or stormwater features.
I don't know
how they'll get it all on there, but it'll be creative, I'm sure.
I was at the meeting, and then I was also at the BZA meeting. And I mean, I really think we all need to consider in the future these types of things. From what I could understand, their criteria to build this store is 9,100 square feet. That's it. It's got to be 9,100 square feet. So, I mean, just talking outside the box here, and Woody Bunting was also on the board, and he knows all of those setbacks, et cetera. You know, and he was firing questions at them and basically told them, you know, you don't have enough room for your stormwater management, you don't have enough room for the landscaping part of it, you're going to create a huge problem there, you know, with your access in and out. I'm thinking about the pedestrian part of it. You know, they originally had some kind of a bike path, walking path through the property, but then they realized, oh my goodness, we can't even have that, you know. But I just don't understand why, you know, if they really want that piece of ground and they really want to be in Berlin, then why can't they reduce the size of their building a little bit to accommodate the property instead of trying to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag? And then this also goes on, because I had a couple calls today from planning and zoning people about the architectural commercial guidelines. And this, you know, we're getting all these activity right now, you know, with that corridor there, and that it's going to be really important that we really be smart about what we do and not create traffic problems and walking problems, you know, trying to better the community and put another store in, et cetera. I mean, there's got to be a way to do it right, is what I'm saying.
And that's what I'm saying. So first of all, I think we wrote a letter on our behalf that everybody approved back, I think it was in June or early July, encouraging them to get those architectural standards done. I didn't do that because it didn't have anything to do. I'm not sure people in town realize the next stage of growth in this town is already happening.
Here, it's happening.
And
yes, it is.
I'm just not sure how to get that across the Planning Commission. I don't know if they're just...
Well, what I'm getting from them is they're uncomfortable. They don't feel like they're qualified to make these big decisions.
Well, then they need to come talk to us.
Well, that's
they
what need, we need.
I want to be very clear. They need to come talk to us because it's their responsibility, and if they don't feel they can do the job, then we'll have to come up with another way. Because we're not going to sit around here and do things half-assed simply because people are not sure what they're supposed to be doing. If they need training, if they need seminars, we do it for every other employee, but we certainly do it for anybody.
This puts pressure on Dave's department, Tim, Jane, everyone's department, town staff. You know, if we build it and build it right, then we're going to alleviate the problems in the future that we'll have to
work through.
That's
how we went all
through
that stuff.
Right.
Years ago, I just feel like safe.
And do you know anything about State Highway, what they feel about whoever builds there, what their responsibility is? Obviously, the sidewalk's going to have to be on that side of the road if that's where they're going to start.
Sidewalk would be for the town to determine.
Yeah.
You know, do we require it? And I told her yes. She's already told them it'll have to be widened there.
There's a lot of site work to be done there.
You have the guardrail. You have the drainage
there.
Ditch. Correct. So that would all come in with the stormwater review and the engineer's review. Like I said, they have an uphill climb with the planning committee.
But I mean, we know the issues with the other side of that road, with the Rite Aid and all the food line. I mean, that's a lot of stuff going on that side of the road, and I don't want to create that again, especially with the ambulances and so forth,
well,
you know, going
to
into the hospital. You know, it's going to be really important that we do that right there.
Well, the SHA, you know, she assured me that their submissions would determine what they were going to require too. So it's far from complete.
Well, so what we need to think about is the current chairman is it Newt?
Chris.
And I think what I'll do is have a communication with him to see if they're just temporarily in shell shock because there's so many different issues with this, or do they want
to... Well, refresh me, Dave. Last month when we met in there and looked at that, kind of didn't we leave it where, like, Barb Stack and Ron
and
Cosby were going to kind of... Because whatever we do with those, they have to be incorporated into the comprehensive plan also. You know, there's some moving parts there. So, but they've kind of thrown it to those three people, but I really think that, you know, we need to get moving on that with, you know, the Royal Farms now. I mean, there's so much going on.
Well, you think there's not going on now, wait 2 years. Unless there is an economic calamity, national proportions, we are a growth area. It was the way the comprehensive zone, comprehensive plan, when it was redone the last time, they outside of Ocean City, because Ocean City can't expand anywhere, except up Berlin, the town of Berlin was picked as the growth zone.
And that hospital,
all that preparation
is key.
Everything is finally starting to come
together.
We saw
25 EDUs tonight for a direct result, you know, of the medical field, and that's only going to increase. I mean, it makes me feel comfortable about what we've done with the wastewater expansion, that we're going to be able to pay for it, right, Troy? I mean, there's going to be people coming in buying these EDUs.
And I don't think those other medical facilities will stay open very long. I mean, I think we'll be filled fairly quickly.
No, I think so, too.
Let me have a talk with Chris and ask him, basically what their plan is. I realize, because there's going to be a lot of stuff coming.
And then the other thing, though, and Dave can help me with that also, is with the historical. I mean, they have a big, you know, dilemma right now because, you know, Mr. Burbage is wanting to do work on this. Mr. Stack didn't want to vote for the vinyl windows. So now, you know, we need to decide, you know, we need to look at that, too. Are we just going to pay attention to keeping the first floors? And are, you know, now there's so much, you know, on Main Street, you know, you can point around different places. I mean, we need to really look at that because it's making things difficult for the Historic Committee to move forward, too, with some of these decisions.
We're worried about making it difficult for people to revitalize the buildings that are not still revitalized. And the irony is we've got a small window of opportunity to get the rest of downtown revitalized. Because it's starker and more stark in the difference between the buildings that have
absolutely
made improvements and the ones that haven't done.
Well, and I bought this magazine tonight. I mean, this is the new coastal style. They just did their best of. There is 17 businesses in Berlin, doctor's offices, businesses, car dealerships. 17 of them are best in Worcester County. And that's voted by the public, which to me is pretty impressive that, you know, not only are people, you know, liking to come to Berlin, but they're making the opportunity to express their opinion and, you know, the whole county, that Snow Hill, Ocean City, you know, 17 businesses in there got best of designations in their categories. And I mean, that's a reflection of everything that we're doing, you know, with the Main Street program and the coolest town and everything together. But I just, you know, Dave knows, they struggled last Wednesday night, you know, and I just don't want them to have to struggle.
Well, I think the thing is, first is just to find out if this is a temporary bump in the road, but I think the key, if there's some issues that they feel unclear about, that they need to bring those issues to us, then we can consider it, think about it, discuss it, debate, whatever. Then give them the guidance. But what I don't know at this point is it because they're not sure what's expected, or what the situation is.
It's a big task, though, don't you think, Dave?
No, which are we talking about, the historic?
The guidelines, the commercial guidelines.
I think you got a split in that commission. There's one or two that think they're not capable of implementing. The path we went down was to try and make some changes that were suitable for Berlin to the Worcester County ordinance, so we kind of blended with that because of the way we impact Worcester County, you know, particularly out on Route 50. And I don't think that we came real close to adopting it without any changes the first time, but there was never a motion. A motion was withdrawn. So I'm not sure that I agree that the Planning Commission doesn't think they can do it. I know there's a member or two who've shared that opinion with me, and they think that it needs professional, as it's put, attention, and of course that means a study or, you know, a contract.
Money.
And, you know, money. So I think it would be beneficial, Mr. Mayor, if you did talk to Commissioner Denny, Chairman Denny, and see where he thinks, because I don't think I'd be speaking out of turn. I don't think he shares that view, that they can't do it, but
okay.
Well, I'd be surprised.
Again, that's something?
That's my view. That's my personal opinion. Okay. I think it could be done with the, but they, once again, lost a little momentum. I try to give them a kick here and there, but we're close.
Okay.
Don't think, you know, there's been some question whether the Worcester County Commissioners are going to keep their design guidelines. I've heard that said.
You know what?
I don't think I believe that.
The world could end tomorrow, but that doesn't mean we're not going to plan for next week.
Yeah, well.
You know, it's like, you know, we boldly stepped into the 21st century, and it is paying off beyond anything in our expectations. And we made the plan, and we make plans, and we make ordinances, and we make resolutions. And if they're not working, we go back and fix them. But doing nothing is the absolutely worst possible thing a government can do. We see it every day in Washington. And I'll be damned if we're going to even closely imitate that.
Well, they've made some progress, but
yeah,
it wasn't enough.
Just saying, we've got to make decisions. We've got to know where we're trying to go. I know we have the strategic planning that we want to get more citizen input simply because it'll make citizens aware, you know? We're not going to be frozen in time. You know, as wonderful a year as this has been, when it's over, and we keep building. Building on the assets and trying to minimize the challenges and the things that are, you know, that are adverse. But, you know, this whole idea, I know, I mentioned this, to Mary last Friday. The rate and the amount of work that the town employees do now compared to just a few years ago, mm-hmm. It's not even in the same ballpark. The town, the boards and commissions that work for this community have got to also keep up with the pace. If it's too much work, if they don't have the time, or they lack the confidence, then we need to have a discussion. But there is, I can't imagine any commission other than the Housing Board of Review not being busier in the next 5 years than they've ever been. And I just want to make that very clear and let folks think about it, but we'll start one thing at a time here, and I'll start talking to Mr. Benny, and we'll go from there. We have to have a vision, and we do the best we can to make it happen. And if we run into unforeseen circumstances or problems, then we deal with it. But I can't imagine it. I don't want to see us go back to the way it was decades ago, where, you know, it took 6 months to decide to, you know, change the smallest thing. And, you know, we can't do that. It's, the world's at a different pace. And so I'm glad you brought it up, but I'll talk to Mr. Day and also consult you to get some involved and so forth. And we'll see where this goes.
They just might need a little hand-holding, you know what I mean? Because they're kind of out there on their own. And
okay. Well, what of them?
And there hasn't been anything going on.
No.
In that lack of anything going on, the opportunity to do this grunt work has got bodies.
Yep. Very good. All right. But you would. You wish all your reports were as interesting as that one. Okay.
Oh, they're just going to get better, Dave. We'll be so busy.
Okay.
We don't have Dave, or our guests will give a report tonight.
No, we'll
give Jeff.
We'll give Jeff a chance. Jeff, do you have any?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a couple things. One, on 9/11, Thursday of this week,
The auditing folks from Chesapeake, the old Iowa, will be on site to do our annual workers' comp audit. What I can share on the preliminary audit, my indications, my calculations show that we will receive a rebate for FY14 when we get to FY15. So that's a good thing. And the other thing that I just finished up before I came up here tonight, since 2010, and I hate to even say it, but the first quarter of the FY is about over. And this year, FY15, the first quarter, I have my fingers crossed because we've got, you know, 2+ weeks, but it'd be a record breaker, the best first quarter of a fiscal year as it relates to workers' comp injuries, if you will.
The lowest number of claims.
The lowest number, that's right. Second thing, just an update. I sent the mayor and council about 7 to 10 days ago an update on where we were at or where we're at as it relates to the search for the director of economic development for the town of Berlin. Just an update. The close on that is September 19th. That's a week from Friday. As of this evening, we have 8 submissions. And just to share with the mayor and council of those 8 submissions, I'd say there's about a 70-30 split, 70% being folks from Beating Hearts, if you will, from the Eastern Shore, and 30% being from the other side of the bay.
Okay. So the 19th
is the close. That's a week from Friday.
Okay, thank you.
And I will, I've begun a paper screen, if you will, and I'll begin next week doing telephonic screens.
Great. Excellent. It's good to know that we're making progress there. Okay. Thank you. Next is our town administrator's report by Laura Allen.
Yeah, but just a few purchase orders for your consideration tonight. Purchase order number 0333 in the amount of $1,149, excuse me, 96 cents to Curtis Engine for repair of Route 346 East generator. Purchase order number 0745, which replaces purchase order number 3395 in the amount of $1,080 to Hills Electric Service for repair of Graham Avenue pump. Purchase order number 0695 in the amount of $12,128.73 to Moshe Design for poinsettia and Silhouette Winterfest Skyline Christmas decorations. Speak charges not included. Excuse me. 0699 in the amount of $10,457 to ERMCO for 1 500 kVA CADMON transformer. Purchase order number 0730 in the amount of $1,680 to First Service Refrigeration, Air Condition, and Heating Service for maintenance agreement for the HVAC and geothermal units. And purchase order number 0739 in the amount of $1,200 to Aerial Crane Company Incorporated for crane services to raise fire siren behind the police department. I want to mention we had organized pictures. Somehow they didn't get into the PowerPoint, but I asked Megan to come to the meeting tonight. She and Tim collaborated on the selection of the design, and I asked her to come because I wanted her to be here to be able to nod her head when I say that the design that they selected is consistent with the refreshed version of the Victorian Christmas that the Main Street folks are working on, sort of rehashing and revamping that. So yeah. the designs are really intended to
fit into
that new design scheme. And I apologize for not having photos available, but I can send them to you tomorrow.
Good. So the whole effort that began back, I think it was in July, which I thought was great, that the planning for the Christmas holidays in Berlin started that early. How do you feel about the progress that's been made since that time?
Everyone is really excited that we have kind of used the pool of small town in this year's Christmas celebration, and we're kind of using that to our advantage and make it the coolest Christmas ever. So we're really excited to get the new skylines too. I think that's going to be a huge visual improvement for everyone to take notice.
Great. And how many sets are there?
Six.
I remember.
You did 3 and 3, right?
There's a total of 6 skylines.
Okay.
There's 3 of the poinsettias and then 3 of the other type.
And then the locations will be the same as they've always been for the past year.
But everything will be new, there won't be any of the old.
That's correct.
Is this to replace like that thing that says Noel?
They were getting a little shabby.
Yes, those.
Shabby.
Yeah. They're actually wire tied together to keep them from falling apart.
Now, Claude get upset at me while seeing this wire.
I don't like to get a lot of your electric.
In fact, the company.
That's on it, it's a fucking lot.
The company that is building these, the original owner, the father, the son that I'm dealing with, he was the one that sold them to the town 26, 27 years ago.
Wow. They've served.
Well, don't take them to my boss. She'll put them in the back room with a big old price on them. They're antiques.
Oh, okay.
these were planned in the budget. We talked about that.
Right. I think it was 12 o'clock.
So with the
shipping, you're going a little bit over that.
Are you going to go pick them up?
Actually, they're being manufactured in North Carolina.
Okay.
What happens, they're built in North Carolina, and then they ship them to Richmond, Virginia from there. So you're actually paying for shipping all the way from North Carolina. But I thought they were being built in Richmond. I was going to say, for what they wanted to charge us for shipping, we'll just drive there. But they're actually being built in North Carolina.
So you have to save a shipping charge.
There's also one other thing I wanted to mention about the Christmas lights. Throughout the years, the smaller lights that go on the light poles, there's 62 street light poles in the downtown area. We've had a problem with lights being taken out of them. In fact, last year we had to replace over 500 bulbs where they're either broken or, you know, they're being taken out and whatever they do with them. So what I did is I got with the company and they actually make a LED light. It's kind of like a flat light, and you can't pull them out. They can't be taken out, and they're pretty much indestructible.
Do they still look?
They look the same.
They look the same.
Yeah, it's called warm white. It's sort of like it's almost the same color as the bulb in the fixture itself.
Right.
That color.
So is this something you'll be able to do in transition? Few at a time, and then something like that.
For what they cost, I can probably go ahead and do it this go round, and they'll all be that way. They'll all be new. But you know, every year where we're having to run out and go buy new bulbs, and you know, 500 bulbs a year, and these are, you know, last for years.
Because they're all LED.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, and they conserve energy too. They use less energy.
But we do have pictures available of what these banner things are going to look like.
Yes, we do.
Great. Would it help set anybody's apple cart if we waited to approve this until we can see the picture?
That's no problem. If Laura can send it to you tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll decide next meeting if you'd like.
You need to get prices on those lights, too?
I already have that.
Okay, so if you want to hold off on that, we can send that up to you tomorrow.
That's fine. I make a motion that we approve, is that five now? All five purchase orders, except the lighting, but all of decoration.
We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve five of the six proposed purchase orders. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right. Thank you. I don't have any particular comments this evening. Anyone in the council? Is anyone in the public or press? Okay.
Please,
I just wanted to show you, we have pictures in a little peach pageant. This was our sixth year, and I think the first year we had three or four kids, and I mean, it's turned into quite an event. And Michael Day, he was like a big kid up there. He had fun with the kids. I think we had 14 this year.
Wow, that's great.
It really turned into a very nice event.
Excellent. Thank you for all the work you did. Take that. I know it didn't happen by magic.
Oh, it was nice. I had James sent a couple guys to help me. It was nice. We had a big crowd, too.